Dr. Craig, I'll tell you, some of the headlines in the news will really get your attention. The tomb of Jesus has been opened for the first time in history. I know that you've commented on this as well, this archaeological dig into the hidden layers of Jesus' tomb site.
Yes.
Give us a thumbnail of this. What's going on here?
Well, the church called the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem is alleged to have been built on the site of Jesus' tomb, the actual tomb in which Jesus' corpse was laid by Joseph of Arimathea. And in the bowels of the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, you can see where this tomb lies. And the tomb itself, the rock, has been overlaid with marble to protect it from damage. And this marble covering has never been lifted since around 1555. So 500 years this has been covered over by marble. And the authorities at the church have now allowed the same archaeologists who have been involved in the restoration of the Acropolis in Athens to remove that marble covering and to expose and clean the site, thereby laying bare the actual limestone slab or shelf upon which the body of Jesus was alleged to have been laid. Really, really amazing.
Most people think of the garden tomb.
Yes.
When they think about the tomb of Jesus. What about that site?
If you go on a visit to Jerusalem, your guided tour will inevitably include a visit to the garden tomb. And indeed, it is lovely. It's a beautiful, quiet little garden. And there's a tomb there that you can go into. And there is no rolling stone there to cover the door anymore, but there is a tomb. Unfortunately, there is no credible evidence that this is a first century tomb, much less the tomb of Jesus of Nazareth. So while it provides a very picturesque image of the tomb, it has no historical value. I much prefer, in taking visitors to Jerusalem, to bring them to a genuine first century tomb with a rolling stone that is used to cover the door of the tomb. And what I'm thinking of is called the Tomb of Herod's Family. This tomb is in the park behind the King David Hotel in Jerusalem. And it's rarely visited by tourist groups, but you can walk into this park and actually see the tomb which was used for the members of Herod's family. And the huge disc-shaped stone is still there that would be rolled up the groove to admit you to the tomb and then rolled down to seal it. When we were there a few years ago with our Reasonable Faith group, the metal door that has been installed to keep the tomb shut was actually open for some reason. We could actually go in. So this is a place to go if you want to see what an authentic first century tomb with a disc-shaped rolling stone for the door looked like.
Bill, bottom line here, are there some reasons to believe that this could be the site?
Actually, Kevin, scholars believe that the Church of the Holy Sepulchre has a very credible claim to be on the site of the actual tomb of Jesus. And this is based on a couple of very interesting facts about its discovery. In the year 326, this is just 1 year following the Council of Nicaea that was convened by the Emperor Constantine and that promulgated the famous Nicene Creed. The following year, Constantine's mother, Helena, went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land for the purpose of finding relics from the time of Christ. And when Constantine's mother came to Jerusalem, she asked the residents of Jerusalem where the tomb of Jesus had been. And the people in Jerusalem at that time pointed her to this site where a pagan temple now stood. And they said, the tomb of Jesus was on this site and this pagan temple was built over it. Well, Helena ordered the temple to be raised and the earth to be excavated and get rid of this pollution of paganism. Mm-hmm. Now, what was interesting about the site identified by the residents of Jerusalem at this time is that the site lay within the walls of Jerusalem. If you look at where the Church of the Holy Sepulchre is, it's inside the city walls. But the Gospels state that Jesus was crucified and buried outside the walls of the city. They would never allow a crucifixion site and burial of unclean corpses to be going on inside the holy city. It had to be outside the walls. And so it was odd that the residents of Jerusalem would point Helena to a site inside the city walls. Well, as it turned out many centuries later, archaeologists excavating the city discovered that the original walls of Jerusalem were more narrowly constrained and that the site that the residents of Jerusalem pointed Helena to actually lay outside the original walls of Jerusalem. They had been later expanded by the emperor to be more expansive and thus enclosed than the site of the tomb. But originally, it did lie outside the original city walls, which no one knew where they were at the time Helena visited. The second thing that's interesting, Kevin, is that when they began to excavate the site and remove the earth, they dug down, and what did they find? Lo and behold, they excavated a tomb exactly where the residents of Jerusalem said that it would be. Now, what's interesting is that this pagan temple stood on that site since it was built by the Emperor Hadrian in AD 110. Now, since Jesus was crucified around AD 30, that means that the memory of this temple being on the site of Jesus' tomb goes back to within just 80 years of the crucifixion and burial of Jesus, well within the time that historical memory might be preserved. And so there's a very, very good chance that, in fact, this is the very tomb in which Joseph of Arimathea lay the corpse of Jesus of Nazareth.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing, Kevin. It just underlines again the fact that when you're talking about Christianity, you're not talking about fairy tales and myths, but you're talking about solid, down-to-earth historical facts.
Bill, I seem to recall that one of the evidences for the resurrection is that there was never an enshrinement of the tomb, and that where the body lay in a tomb, if it was a famous person or a beloved person, so on, that there'd be somewhat of an enshrinement.
Right, if the bones of the deceased still lay there.
Ah,
that's
yes.
Right.
Okay.
But if it were empty, then while the site would undoubtedly be remembered in Christian memory, it wouldn't be venerated because there were no, so to speak, relics there. The bones of Jesus were no longer there to be found. So that is one of the evidences for the historicity of the empty tomb, is if you don't have this early veneration of the site of Jesus' burial. But I think that it was remembered, obviously, by the church in Jerusalem where Jesus' body had been laid. And then later, of course, this site did come to be a place of veneration, and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre was then built upon it after Helena had it excavated.
Another related issue, have you ever heard theologians say that the reason that God doesn't preserve certain things is because people have a tendency to idolize it, make it into an idol. Like if they found the original manuscripts of the Bible, if they found the nails and the cross, at the, you know, and things like that, yeah. that we have a tendency to do that, and that's why.
I've heard them say that, though I'm sort of skeptical about those sorts of speculations. Yeah. It seems to me to be just conjectural. And in a case like this, I think it's very credible that we do, in fact, have the original tomb in which Jesus was laid.
So let's talk a little bit more as we wrap up today. What is the significance to apologetics? What are some of our opportunities to discuss this when the headlines say, experts uncover hidden layers of Jesus' tomb site? Mm-hmm.
Well, we need to be informed about it so as to clarify exactly what they meant, like hidden layers. It sounds as though there was something being kept secret here, a sort of Da Vinci Code conspiracy. What they simply mean is that the original limestone was covered by marble to protect it, and in that sense, hidden, and the protective covering was temporarily removed. I do think, though, that the apologetic significance would be, again, that it underlines the historical credibility of the empty tomb and the historicity of the Gospels in this regard. By the time the disciples began to preach the resurrection in Jerusalem, that tomb had to be empty because they could never have proclaimed the resurrection of Jesus in Jerusalem in the face of a tomb containing his corpse. And so the fact that Christianity was born and flourished in Jerusalem, where Jesus had been publicly crucified and buried, is a remarkable fact that I think points to the historicity of the empty tomb.
By the way, as I understand, these archaeologists opened this up. They didn't find Jesus in there, but they did find Jimmy Hoffa.
Oh, Jeff.